Good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion. It's great to be together. Wonderful to be able to open up God's word, see what he has to say for another day. We're going to be turning back to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. So if you've got your Bible there, turn with me. We're going to read from verse 5 through to 9 today. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin. For it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this word and we pray that you'd help us to have understanding. Help us indeed to see. Help us to understand and to apply it to our own into our own lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, yesterday we looked at the reality of temptation and the fact that you don't want to be the one who leads people into sin, and that Jesus longs for us to help others to become faithful, to walk alongside one another in such a way that we promote godliness and holiness in our life. Now, Jesus shifts the thinking a little bit. He constantly does this. He's sort of talking along the lines and he just keeps shifting the focus of the camera. It's like a movie director and how they'll sort of, in a scene, they're focusing on a group of people and then it zooms into three people and then it zooms into one person and then it zooms into like the item the person is holding. And so it is here. He focuses on the entrance to the kingdom and then he focuses upon temptation and now he focuses upon us as temptation comes to us. Jesus says, it's necessary that temptations come. It's the reality of living in a broken, cursed, sinful, fallen world. You can't avoid it. Even the monks who used to go and live in desert caves discovered they could not run away from the reality of a fallen world. Sin followed them even into the caves by themselves. They may have escaped from the so-called world and its sinfulness, but what they discovered was that sin followed them in their own hearts, and they were plagued with just different temptations. And yet they were still there. And so these temptations are going to come to us. But the great question is, how will we stand? How will we fight against them? What motivation do we have to pursue the right thing? And Jesus, in a sense, is putting two ways of life before us. He's holding before us two options. He's saying, there's life and there's death. Which will you choose? Sometimes the easiest way of understanding a passage is working backwards. And I think this passage is one of those passages that helps us a lot because it's easy to come to bad conclusions in a passage like this. And one of those is what I have often heard, which is people saying, Jesus doesn't really mean that. So the argument goes, Jesus tells you to pluck out your eye, cut off your hand and cut off your foot. Well, unless Jesus is a self-harming advocate, clearly Jesus doesn't mean that. And then we come up with like a weakened exhortation because we're worried about saying literally what Jesus said. We don't want people to go out and start self-harming themselves. So we water down the application and the word of Jesus Christ. Now, yes, Jesus doesn't want us to do self-harm, but we need to let the words of Jesus ring true. And so working backwards helps us do that in this passage. So he finishes by saying, it is better to enter life than hell. So that's the underlying principle here, isn't it? Now, Jesus doesn't need to explain that to his hearers. All his hearers agree with that. Everyone who's honest agrees with that. I had friends growing up who used to say, well, hell has all the cool stuff in it, so I'd rather go there. But they didn't really mean that. They only said that because they had a caricature of what hell was. Their idea of hell was the place where Satan was where Satan is with all the good stuff, and so they want to go there. But if someone really believes in heaven and hell and the reality of what the Bible says about it, no one is going to say, I would much rather go to hell with all of the pains and suffering and fire and horror and everything that it is. I'd much rather that than eternal life, bliss, happiness and joy with a blessed Savior. No one says that. It's an assumed conclusion, isn't it? Because Jesus knows that deep down in the heart of every human being, there is a voice shouting out, I want to live forever. As the writer in Ecclesiastes says, eternity is written in our hearts. So Jesus says, effectively, you want to go to heaven, don't you? Do you want to go to heaven? Let me ask you, do you want to go to heaven? And I'm sure all of you say, yes, I want to go to heaven. Well, then, what do I have to do? Well, you have to cut off your foot, hand, and rip out your eyeball if they're going to lead you into sin. How can Jesus say that? Well, it's something that we must come to terms with in the Christian life, and that is that sin kills. Sin kills. We're not talking about entrance into the kingdom of heaven, are we? No, we're not. Why? Because Jesus has already told us how to enter the kingdom of heaven by coming by faith like a little child. So we're talking about the Christian life. We're talking about the life of human beings. Sin always is a pathway to death. Life never comes from sin. So, how do we understand the passage then? What's Jesus saying? He's saying, effectively, what John Owen took him to be saying. And he's saying, you must be busy killing sin, or sin will be busy killing you. So, if your hand leads you to sin, yes, cut it off. Why? Because wouldn't you rather have one hand and go to heaven? Or to put it another way, which I think is a far more likely application. If your computer leads you to watch pornography, throw it in the rubbish. If your cell phone leads you to worship technology rather than God, throw it out and have no cell phone. For it is better to have no cell phone, no computer, and have the world consider you a weirdo than it is to go to hell with a cell phone in your pocket. You understand what Jesus is saying? He's looking into every area of your life and he's saying, if that causes you to sin, get rid of it. It's not worth it. Do you want to live forever with me? My child, you want to live forever with me, don't you? Then get rid of sin. You see, we can't, as Paul says, we can't presume upon grace. We can't go on sinning in our life and saying, well, I believe in the perseverance of the saints and that those that God saves will stay saved forever and then live lives of sin. That's called presuming upon grace. And it leads to death and destruction. There has just been so many cases of so-called godly people who have given themselves over to sin and have walked away from the faith. And it's been true of them, as John says in his epistles, they were of us, but they went out from us. They were a part of us, but they went out from us. Why? because they loved sin. Now, they didn't lose their salvation. They just never had it. But what was the problem? They were there showing the outward symbolism of Christianity, and yet they loved sin more than God. And that's really at the heart of what's behind this passage. Who do you love more? What do you love more? Your sin or life with Christ? You see, we cannot serve two masters. Remember Jesus said that? You cannot serve two masters. You cannot love both God and money, because you will love one and hate the other. Any of you who have worked two jobs, two part-time jobs, understand this. You know, there's always the one job that you love more. There's always the one job that you'd much rather do 100% of the time. It's like talking to a pastor that I met once who loved being a pastor, yet he had to work part-time. And he enjoyed it, but he would much rather had been able to work full-time in the ministry and not have to devote a couple of days a week to working in the world, but just to be able to devote himself to the things of the Lord. And so it's not that he hated the work, but he sure loved one more than the other. And so this is what we're talking about. Do you love Christ enough to say no to sin? Do you love God enough to say no to your selfish heart? Do you love God enough to throw out the device that leads to sin? To quit the job that's promoting sin? To take a pay cut in order to gain heavenly riches? You see, it's all a matter of priorities, isn't it? What's most important to me? And it's not about how do I earn salvation or anything like that. It's about how do I walk with Christ in my daily life. As a citizen of heaven, as a citizen of the kingdom of God, what is my top priority? Where will I sink my focus? And if we're honest, I think all of us, to a lesser or greater degree, have this problem, don't we? We would love to live outrageously godly lives. But we love the idea of it, don't we? We look at godly Christians throughout church history. We look at the John Owens and the Amy Carmichaels and the John Calvins and the Helen Roosevelts and all the different people that we look up to and go, wow, they lived such wonderful lives. And we think to ourselves, I would love to live a life like that. But it means giving up sin. So instead, I'll live with my sin. And Jesus is giving us a warning. Who do we love more? Our sin or God? Because one leads to death and one leads to life. What are you holding on to? What aren't you prepared to put to death? Remember what Paul says, put to death the deeds of the flesh and walk in life. Because Jesus came to set us free from sin. Let's put it to death. Let's pray. Lord, we need your help in this endeavor. It is a hard thing to put to death the deeds of the flesh. And so we pray that you'd help us to be killing sin so that it would not be killing us. This is the fruit of grace in our life. So would you cause it to take place? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining me for another day. I'll look forward to seeing you back here tomorrow, same place, same time, for another daily devotion. God bless.